was perfect, we wouldn't need faith. But the fact that the Lord was good to me, I'm so thankful for that. My message tonight, as the media team would prepare, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And if I can ask just for the monitors to be lowered a little bit, thank you. Comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And before I get started, I wanted to ask the audience today, who here has had a prayer that's been answered this year? By a raise of hands. Wow, quite a few of you. Now, how many of you have had a prayer that has not been answered this year? A lot more of you. Well, I guess my message for tonight is for us, amen? And it looks like we have a lot of waiters here. And, you know, there's a meme in our culture, in our young culture. There's a saying, haters are going to hate, right? Haters going to hate. Well, tonight my message is going to be, waiters going to wait. And what do you do when God doesn't give you the answer? And if you guys have your Bibles, I'm not going to invite you to stand, but from where you're at, let us open to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness." Amen. What's another word for servant or servants? Waiters, right? You might have a restaurant that might use the term servant or servers. Some might use waiters. And if you guys remember back earlier this year, I discovered an amazing revelation that I didn't catch many times reading the word of God during the Easter season. But when the disciples returned back to the tomb of Christ, they saw his linen folded, which was very prophetic, but also very symbolic. And they missed that one revelation where it was customary in the Jewish law and the Jewish tradition and the Jewish culture that a servant will wait on a master if they see a napkin folded. But if the napkin is ruffled and just left there, it means that they're done, that their assignment is over. And part of my message tonight is to reflect on the importance of what we should be doing when we're waiting. And many times we realize that we're not really working. We're actually stagnant. We're actually still. And that's when God is not pleased with our response to his plan. You see, many times we get a promise or we receive a word. Maybe you might have received a prophetic word or something that you've been promised by the Lord through prayer. And your anxiety comes from not having the plan. Well, brothers and sisters, if we have the plan, we don't need faith. And there are seasons when God answers quickly. And there are seasons when heaven feels quiet. No clarity, no timeline, no explanation, no plan. But you have a promise and you have a petition before the Lord. As it says, if any of you have anything to ask, with thanksgiving and petition before the Lord and pray, as the scripture says, with thanksgiving and petition. How many times have we come to the Lord with the wrong motives or the wrong attitude? We haven't offered thanksgiving. We haven't offered our praise before that. The moments like these where we don't have the plan, where we're in the season of silence or a season of pause where things are not going, are moments of testing, and not testing of your intelligence. Because oftentimes we might think, man, why am I like relying on spiritual things just to result to a logical explanation? Like, I'll just find the plan and I'll get there. God will bless me along the way. No, it's a testing of our faith. When God doesn't give answers, he is not absent. He is not silent. He's not away. He's actually inviting us to steward, as it says in Corinthians. It requires us to steward the mysteries. In Proverbs, it says that the glory of God is to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to discover that matter. And you and brothers and sisters tonight, we are all heirs to Christ, who is our king. We are all royalty. And that is a call for us to search out that, in the time of prayer, in the time of waiting, in the time of fasting, while you're receiving the plan, you have the promise, right? You might look at it like a GPS, right? Where you've found the pin, you know your location, but the route is part of the journey. It's the beautiful frontier that we have in our time with the Lord as we're exploring the mysteries and discovering them along the way. When God doesn't answer, we need to recognize the difference between our problems and our mysteries. Not everything in life is meant to be figured out like a problem or a plan. Some things are problems God gives us wisdom to solve, but other things are mysteries, realities that God withholds intentionally, withholds the clarity until the timing is right. Scripture says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. The mysteries, the plan belongs to the Lord, but the promise belongs to us in Deuteronomy, as it says. Paul reminds us, now we see only a reflection as a mirror. When we try to force an answer from God that hasn't been released, we don't gain clarity. We actually gain anxiety. And I'm guilty of this. Just ask my family, ask my friends who I serve with. I used to be very impatient. I still am impatient, but I used to too, you know? And the truth is, the patience comes from getting an answer, wanting to know the plan, wanting to know the details. Like, I'm not so much concerned about the destination, but I'm more concerned about the plan. And that's not the way God operates. Peace comes when we stop demanding answers and start trusting God with what remains hidden. When God doesn't answer, don't strive. Just steward the mystery. It's part of the journey. It's part of the excitement. And I know many of us can test God in that season, but in the same time, the testing for us comes from the waiting, the mystery, and the timing that God has intended to reveal his plan through little hints. And the second point that I want to make tonight, when God doesn't answer, we must stay faithful in what already he has spoken. Many times when we're anxious, and I remember I was speaking to a few members from our youth group where we sometimes get stuck in the what ifs, and we get stuck into, well, what about this? What about that? No, the Lord wants us to remember what he's done, not the what ifs, but what has been promised, what he has done, and what he will do again. Silence is not a permission from you and I to just abandon obedience. When the next steps are unclear, faithfulness in the last instruction becomes really what becomes part of our test. It's not a permission to just pause and to not continue to work. Oftentimes, we just stay quiet and waiting on the Lord's plan, but you have to be in motion for that to take fruit. Jesus said, whoever is faithful with very little will also be faithful with much. Proverb adds to that and says, hear this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and he will make your paths straight. So if he's able to trust you with a little plan, he's going to trust you with the big plan. And so many times I've tested the Lord where I felt like, Lord, you know what? I'm ready for the big plan. Just give it to me, Lord. I can go into it. And I go my own way. And this is where I enter, is that I forget that our responsibility is just to be obedient, but God's responsibility is with the outcome. Again, I remind you, the promise belongs to us, but the plan belongs to the Lord. Waiting well means continue to walk in the light that he's given us, loving, serving, praying, obeying, fasting, without rushing the next outcome. And in each one of those steps, in each one of those seasons that you're in that waiting, the Lord will reveal his plan gradually. He's testing us with how much he can test us in the little things to give us the bigger plan. I mean, imagine starting a marathon like TJ. You know, you've done quite a few marathons. And imagine starting a marathon on a 30K, right? Or a 15K or 10K, whatever. You're going to need to start with a smaller plan or maybe a smaller route before you get to that. And you're not going to be able to that. So many times we try to solve tomorrow's problems with the strength that God gives us today. And here's the thing, he doesn't give us more strength than we can handle. And the truth is, when we can't, we rely on him. Oftentimes, I found myself trying to solve the problems of tomorrow with the strength that he has given me today. And it only gets me to hitting a wall. Waiters don't quit working, they keep working faithfully. So if I'm going to be faithful with a little, he's going to bless me with a lot. And he's going to bless you with a lot if you're faithful with a little. My point number three for tonight is, when God doesn't answer, don't let desperation make decisions for you. I'm going to repeat that again. Don't let desperations make decisions for you. Fear and impatience are terrible counselors. They have counseled me into really bad things, into really bad decisions, and to delayed blessings even. The most dangerous decisions in Scripture were made when people refused to wait. They weren't waiters. They were rushers. Abraham rushed God's promise to produce Ishmael. Saul feared delay and lost the kingdom. Feared delay from Samuel and lost the kingdom. Israel panicked in Moses' absence. Where's Moses? What's going on? God's abandoned us. We were promised something. So they built a golden calf. The devil's bait and God's blessing sometimes are indistinguishable when you're desperate. So many times I felt, and maybe you felt, where, oh my gosh, I think I got an answer. I got a promise. I'm going to step into it, and I'm going to just take action. Desperation blurs our discernment. Because of fear, ambition, because of pain, impatience, all of those things can disguise themselves as guidance. That's why Scripture commands us to wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart and wait for the Lord. Wait, guys, just wait. How many times we've rushed and then we're disappointed, we're depressed because we thought that maybe I'm ripe, I'm ready, I can go move forward. Well, here's the thing. I brought this sample of an olive branch, and there's one ripe olive on there. I was at a retreat this week in Temecula, and there was a beautiful olive grove there, and every morning I would go and pray, and I pulled one of these off, and here's the thing. This is a ripe olive, but I dare anybody to try this ripe olive. Has anyone ever tried a ripe olive off of a branch before? No. Well, some of you might have. What does it taste like? It's bitter, right? It almost feels toxic. It's unedible. But no, you would say, this is ripe. So it must mean that it's ready. It's not ready. The truth is that for you to enjoy this olive, it has to go through a curing process. It has to go through a pickling process. For you to enjoy the oil in that, it needs to be pressed. And how many times, brothers and sisters, have you and I felt, Lord, I'm ripe, but we weren't ready? Ripe just means that you are ready for the Lord to start doing the good work that he has in for you for the ultimate plan and purpose. Amen? So you might think, I'm ripe, but I'm not ready. And that's why there's a season of waiting. Waiting exposes our motives. It slows our souls down. It protects us from making wrong decisions simply because silence feels uncomfortable. Guys, I hate it when I have the silence around me, whether from a friend or a family member or a work order or a prospect or a client that I'm waiting for them at work. The silence is the most frustrating part of the waiting period. You know, even in waiting, there sometimes can be communication. And that's the only way we understand that in our waiting, we must communicate with God. If we stay stagnant, if we become quiet to him, we're not going to be downloaded his plan and process along the way. Which brings me to my next point. When God doesn't answer, pray the mystery back to him. We're a Pentecostal church here. And the blessing that we have in our faith through the continuation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. And if you don't have that gift, pray for it because it's amazing. And God uses that as a tool. Because when you can't understand or you don't know the mystery and you can't handle it from your intellect, the Spirit takes over. Silence doesn't mean you stop praying, guys. It means your prayer shifts. You pull away from desperation and you give it back to the Lord and repeat the mystery that he's already given to you, the promises that he's already given to you. Paul teaches when we pray in tongues, we utter mysteries in the Spirit. So when our understanding runs out, the Spirit should be there to carry our burden. Lord, when I don't know what the next step is, Lord, when I don't know what the plan is, Lord, when I'm anxious, but I know the end result, I know where you want to take me, but I don't know how to get there, Lord, I'm going to surrender. And in this time of prayer, I'm going to let the Spirit take over. And when we pray in tongues, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It intercedes for us with groans deep for words, as it says in Romans. Praying in the Spirit builds inner discernment. It strengthens the trust that we have between the Lord. And it aligns our hearts with God's unseen direction. Many times when I didn't see God's direction, when I didn't see the trust that I have built with him, I didn't know where to go. So I would make mistakes and I would try to rush things and do it my way. But in this season, and I don't come to you guys, brothers and sisters, as a guy who has figured it all out. No, I'm still in a season of growth and still growing. And many of you are still growing. But what I have figured out is that God has it all figured out. And I don't have to be somebody who has all figured out and know the plan every time. That I can just trust and let the Spirit take over. When God doesn't give you an answer, brothers and sisters, let the Spirit pray when your mind cannot. So many times my mind has been rushed, has been overloaded, overburdened. And then I get that burnout feeling like, Lord, am I ever going to get an answer? Am I ever going to get your promise? And I make the mistake of doing something stupid, or you've made the mistake of doing something stupid and rushing the Lord before your time, before you're ready. You might be ripe, but you're not ready. And that leads me to my last point. When God doesn't answer, remember that the valley is still a provision. We often call a season of silence when we don't hear from the Lord, I'm in a valley right now. Sunt într-un vale. And that automatically means loss or failure or I'm pierdut, I'm lost. But biblically speaking, and actually naturally speaking, if you look at valleys, valleys are a place of life. In nature, valleys are green. Because water flows from the mountaintop, the streams give nourishment to the trees, nourishment gathers in the low places of the valley, animals thrive, they gather in the valley, they're hidden there, there's trees, there's brushes, they're protected there. The valley is sustained by what fell from the mountain. And that brings me to the idea that even though we may be in a valley, the water that is sustaining you right now in your valley, in your season of waiting, comes from the previous height that you used to be on. The water and the nourishment that you're getting in this valley in this time of silence comes literally from the mountaintop where the rain and the snow gathered while you were there. If God provided it before, he'll provide it again. The valley is not abandonment, guys. The valley is not a place of loss. It's not a place of failure. It's a place of provision. It's a place of preparation. It's a place of protection. And though you might feel like you're in a valley or that your prayer hasn't been answered this year, just know that the water and the nourishment that is being sustained is by the promises that you've had and the victories that you've had. The same God who answered your prayers for those who raised your hands tonight. And I want to see those hands again. Can you show me who's had a prayer answered tonight this year? And how about those? And keep your other hand. Keep your other hand up if you're that person. Still keep it up. Now, show me your hand with your other hand if God hasn't answered your prayer. That's the posture we should be in. He's answered my prayers. I'm still waiting on my other prayer. And until then, I remember that the mountaintop, when he's answered my prayer, and that water source is fueling me, and then my other hand holding it up in both postures and saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm in the season of waiting. I'm hearing from you, Lord. I'm in communion with you. And until you give me that promise or that plan, I'm going to steward what you've given me. And I'm not going to think about the what ifs. I'm going to think about what has been and what you promised. Silence doesn't mean that God left. It means he's sustaining you differently. I've never had to change my tire on the way to preach to church. Every experience is going to be different, how God tests us and how his plan to get us there. So in my closing remarks, I want to say that we need to remind ourselves that when God doesn't give answers, he gives us an invitation to seek out his plan and to go on the journey with him and to go on to that unknown frontier. As it says in Proverbs again, the glory of God is to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to discover that matter. So what do we do? What's the invitation? Steward that mystery. Stay faithful in the unknown. Refuse desperate shortcuts. Desperate shortcuts. God wants you to enter into that season, not because of desperation, but because the strength that he has given you through this time of waiting. The second to the last thing is, let the Spirit guide your prayers. Don't stop praying. Pray in tongues. When you don't have the mind to, let the Spirit take over. It's a weapon. It's a tool that he's given us. And we don't use it. And if you don't have that gift, brothers and sisters, let us pray into the new year that you receive it. And lastly, trust God in the valley. Trust him. If he took you to the mountaintop, he will take you through the valley. Faith is not having every detail explained, every plan explained, every plan sorted and organized. Like I said before, he gives us the promise, but if he gave us the plan, we wouldn't need faith. And we would just go our way and receive everything for granted. But how much better is it knowing that the testing of your faith produced the fruit that you get to enjoy here today? Nobody would eat a vine or a tomato off of a vine, right? They would pick it. So for you to just stay idle and saying, okay, I'm not going to move, nobody's just going to eat a tomato off a vine. It has to be pulled. So the last thing is, you need to get into action. You cannot stay stagnant in a time of waiting. Time of waiting doesn't mean you stop working. As waiters who wait and they see that the master's napkin is folded, they're put into action because they want to be ready when the Lord has his next command or has his next plan and has his next order. They need to be ready. So you might be right, but you're not ready unless you're actually in function. It's trusting God when the map, it's not clear. When the map is blank, you have your location, you have the destination, but the route is blank. So today we pray not just for answers, but for endurance. Not just for clarity, but for faithfulness. Because in the kingdom, waiters are going to wait. And those who wait, will never be disappointed. In Isaiah 40, and I close with this, Isaiah 40, verses 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait upon the Lord, in some translations, will renew their strength. They will soar on eagles like, their soul are on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.